It's a Friday night, and the Norwegian Rat Saloon is packed. The Rat is a notorious favorite of fishermen looking to unwind in Unalaska. But tonight, the mood at the bar is a little bit different. The Rat is hosting a memorial service for the lost crew of the destination.
So if I could get everybody to be completely silent for a moment and respect the time that these guys put into the Bering Sea.
Crabber Casey McManus is the MC. He settles the crowd down so the bell ringing can begin. It's a tradition. When you lose a fisherman, you ring a bell in his honor.
First one would be Captain Jeff Hathaway. Larry O'Grady. Charles Glenn Jones. Ray Ray Vinsler. Kai Hammock. And Derek Seibel.
The men disappeared February 11th while fishing for snow crab a few miles from St. George Island. A three-day search turned up nothing more than a floating tangle of the boat's debris. For members of the fishing industry, the loss of the destination has been devastating in its own right and for the difficult memories it recalls. Now mayor of Unalaska, Frank Kelty managed the seafood company back in the late 70s, the heyday of Bering Sea crab fishing.
Every year there'd be some kind of a tragedy.
Once, a friend of Kelty's broke his neck on board when a wave took out the wheelhouse. Another time, six of his friends died the first day of the season after their boat rolled, loaded with heavy crab pots.
You know, I don't want to ever have to go through a deal like that again.
The situation got worse after the crash of Red King crab in 1981. In 5 years, the fleet went from harvesting 84 metric tons to 8. But there was still one quota for the entire fishery, and Kelty says that made catching crab a race.
The Wild West atmosphere was fully functioning.
Crabbers worked nonstop trying to beat the competition. They overloaded their boats trying to haul as much as possible, and as a result, many of them were killed. During the 90s, 75 people died fishing for crab in the Bering Sea, from capsizings, falls overboard, and accidents on deck. It had become the deadliest commercial fishery in the country, and Kelty says it was clear something had to change.
We had to come up with a game plan to address too many vessels chasing too few a crab.
That plan was rationalization, a system where each vessel was assigned its own quota so crabbers wouldn't have to race. The fleet got smaller, the seasons got longer, and the culture of crab fishing got a whole lot safer. Between 2005 and 2016, Scott Wilward says the fleet suffered just one fatality. He works for the U.S. Coast Guard as Alaska's fishing vessel safety coordinator.
Been on a really good 12-year stretch with a downward sloping trend of vessel losses and fatalities and casualties in this industry.
That good stretch is something to celebrate, Wilward says, but it also makes the news of the destination that much harder.
I was shocked and certainly bothered by the fact that it happened.
What did happen exactly? How did the crew vanish so close to shore? And how did the crab fleet go from making enormous strides in safety to suffering its deadliest accident in more than a decade? To answer those questions, the Coast Guard has assembled a team of its highest level investigators, including Commander Scott Muller.
We have little to go on.
Muller mostly investigates accidents in the mid-Atlantic, but he's been called to Alaska for the first time to lead the Marine Board of Investigation. He says it only convenes for the worst vessel disasters.
Like the El Faro, Exxon Valdez, and Deepwater Horizon.
And so the loss of the destination is in that realm with some of those other big incidents.
Absolutely.
Muller's team is retracing the boat's final movements. They're interviewing the destination's owners in Seattle, Coast Guard officials in Anchorage, and anyone in Unalaska who interacted with the crew at their last port of call. This summer, Muller says they're even planning to track down the vessel itself.
We're working to first identify the location of the wreck, and then next to survey the vessel using a ROV, remote operated vehicle, potentially divers.
In the meantime, investigators are gathering as much information as possible from people like Dyer George. George is captain of the Polar Sea. His crew is also fishing for crab February 11th, not far from the destination.
What do we think it is that he capsized? And it's devastating.
George can't be sure, but he says conditions that day could make any boat roll. He says there was so much freezing spray, his own vessel was quickly coated in a thick layer of ice.
The boat was already starting to lean forward, so you know that you're getting pretty heavy on it.
In those conditions, George says things can go south quickly, even for experienced fishermen, even for an industry that's improved so much in safety.
I don't have even words for it. You know, I think it is a wake-up call for the whole fleet.
The Coast Guard plans to hold public hearings on the accident and release the findings of its investigation by the one-year anniversary of the destination's disappearance. In Unalaska, I'm Laura Craigle.